12. Royal Palace, City of Erastor, Princedom of Emerald. Prince Narman looked up from the latest dispatch and grimaced.
Well, he said mildly, that's irritating.
The Earl of Pine Hollow couldn't quite hide his disbelief as he looked across the table at his cousin. Narman saw his expression and snorted in harsh amusement. Then he laid the dispatch on the tabletop beside his plate and reached for a fresh slice of melon.
I take it you were expecting a somewhat stronger reaction, Travis?
Well, yes,
Pine Hollow admitted.
Why?
Narman popped a bite of melon into his mouth and chewed.
Aside from the fact that Bishop Executor Willis's permission to use the church semaphore network means we got the news a little quicker than we might have, there's no real surprise here, is there?
I suppose not,
Pine Hollow said slowly, trying to analyze Narman's mood. There was something peculiar about it.
Militarily, burning North Bay to the ground, although, mind you, I expect we'll find the damage is less extensive than these first reports might indicate, doesn't make a lot of sense,
Narman acknowledged.
Politically, though, it makes perfect sense.
Meaning what, my prince?
Personally, Pine Hollow couldn't see any sense in the attack at all. Aside from two small war galleys which had been anchored there, and half a dozen of the merchantmen Commodore Jastrow had been converting into light cruisers for commerce raiding purposes, most of the damage which had been inflicted struck him as pure, wanton destruction. The merchant ships tied up at North Bay's wharves and the idle warehouses filled with goods which were simply collecting dust in the face of the Carisian Navy's blockade hadn't been what he would have considered militarily important targets, at any rate. Not only that, but North Bay was the next best thing to 700 miles from Erastor, and not exactly the largest and most important town in the princedom either.
Meaning that Caleb, or more probably Admiral Rockpoint, acting within the general scope of Caleb's instructions, is sending me a message.
Narman cut another piece of melon and regarded it critically for a moment before sending it after its predecessor. Then he looked back across at Pine Hollow.
They're demonstrating that as long as they have control of the sea, they can do this to us whenever they want. You might think of it as a pointed reminder that despite everything Commodore Jastrow can do, we can't really hurt them, but they can certainly hurt us. It's a point I was discussing with Bishop Executor Willis just yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Pine Hollow's eyes had narrowed speculatively. He'd known about the meeting between Narman and Bishop Executor Willis Grayson, the highest-ranking churchman in the princedom, given Archbishop Liam Turn's abrupt decision to return to Zion to confer with his colleagues as soon as word of Darko's sound reached Erastor. But his cousin hadn't told him what that meeting had been about. Until now, at least, he thought as Narman gave him a somewhat off-center smile.
The good Bishop Executor is concerned about the degree of our commitment to the ongoing war against Karis.
Commitment?
Pine Hollow blinked, then shook his head in disbelief.
He thinks that after Darko's sound and Harald's death, we think Caleb is going to welcome us as allies?
He asked incredulously, and Narman chuckled mirthlessly.
I think that letter from Archbishop Michael, excuse me, from the apostate heretic and traitor Michael Stainer to the Grand Vicar has Grayson a bit rattled, let's say. I don't think he put any more credence in the reports about Harald's violations of the prescriptions than we ever did. Not at least as long as it was supposed to be a nice, simple matter of raking Karis from one end to the other according to Clintan's timetable. Now that the boot is on the other foot, and those idiots in the group of four have managed to drive Caleb into outright public defiance, he's feeling just a tad exposed here in our welcoming bosom.